Welcome to the world today. My name is Frank Weltner. I am the librarian for JewWatch, the largest compendium of information about Jewish organizations and news on the internet today. In addition, I am the librarian and archivist for a new website, www.americanussr.com, which is already the largest compendium of history concerning the negative aspects of the United States of America, which the CIA, FBI, the presidency, the Congress, and all other agencies of the United States want you to know nothing about. You're tuned to the world today. My name is Frank Weltner, and today is January the 17th, 2011. Today, the first indictment was filed in Lebanon's Harari killing. Harari was the Lebanese prime minister who was assassinated on a highway 6 years ago. The indictment, confirmed by the International Court's headquarters in The Hague, has become the latest turn in a deepening political conflict in Lebanon, where Hezbollah toppled the Western-backed government last week in a dispute over the tribunal. The court is likely to accuse members of Hezbollah of being involved in the killing of the prime minister, something the Shiite militant group has insisted it will not accept. This has every piece of evidence of being a black flag operation of the CIA. Here you have Hezbollah toppling the Western government of Lebanon, and a few days later, The Hague issues an indictment against Hezbollah for killing the prime minister 6 years ago. This is the type of thing that the CIA does on a constant basis. They deal in intrigue and deceit. They've been able to topple many, many people. They may have been a part of the toppling of the prime minister of Lebanon. They may have aided Hezbollah in doing it. They may not. They may have only implicated Hezbollah as they did it. But nothing in the Middle East occurs without the CIA being involved. The CIA and the Mossad have their finger in every nation surrounding Israel. They are constantly massaging the political hallways of every government in that area. So whatever happened to this prime minister was known beforehand. It was probably even promulgated by these two thugs who operate in the Middle East on a constant basis, based, as I say, on deceit. There's nothing that Israel or America has ever said that was honest. You find something that they've said that's honest, I would like to see it. Look at the Gulf of Tonkin. It never happened, but it was used to start the Vietnam War, which lasted for 20 years and cost 53,000 American lives. Let's take a look at 9/11. There's never been a trial on 9/11. Well, actually, there was one, and the people decided that the United States was probably closely involved in it. It seems impossible that Arabs could have flown planes into those buildings without the cooperation of the government of the United States, which definitely cooperated in that everyone in the FAA that was following the airplanes through the skies on the way to those buildings thought that they were participating in a mock ceremony in which planes were going after those buildings. So the fix was in all the way across the scenario. We also found some very, very strange things, such as after the planes went through the building and everything was demolished, suddenly some passports belonging to persons who were supposed to be the pilots were found on top of the rubble, after everything else in the building had been turned to dust and had been burned to a shred. So we're pretty confident that the United States was behind this particular incident, and that it did it in order to start the war in the Middle East. the people in the United States wouldn't have gone along with the war except for 9/11. And that's what it took. And for months and years, the United States had been talking about what it needed was a huge crisis in order to do something like this. And the United States itself had discussed creating a crisis to invade Cuba. They suggested that they should pay some patsies to begin bombing theaters, cars, etc. in an escapade called Operations Northwood. Operation Northwoods. This was finally exposed. Although it was evidently classified, it became obvious to everybody what had happened. And we have Operation Northwoods on AmericanUSSR.com, where you can read all about it. If they were to, they were all ready to blow up buildings and to kill people and to blame it on Castro, why not take down the two World Trade Towers that were due to come down anyway at the cost of millions and millions of dollars? Why not just take them out, get it done with, and then use that to start all sorts of fascist wars against terrorism? Well, it certainly worked. It certainly worked. And the United States has gone absolutely broke fighting these so-called terrorists. It was known that Al-Qaeda only had like 17 people in it when the United States declared war on it. For 17 people, there's been an awful lot of damage done. How much damage can 17 people do? And I'm not talking about 17 people that went into the World Trade Tower. I'm talking about 17 people that were there afterwards. How could 17 people bring the United States into a war against Afghanistan or a war against Iraq? Does that make sense to you? Do you think that any country would go to war against nations as strong as Afghanistan and Iraq? No one's ever been able to beat the people of Afghanistan in a war, not even the Soviet Union, which is right on its border. And in fact, the Taliban and Osama bin Laden were paid by the United States to fight the Soviet Union in Afghanistan. Yet these are the people that we're supposedly going against. Come on, put it together, folks. You're being hoodwinked here by the United States of America, which is the biggest liar in the world next to Israel. Of course, we could probably add France, England, Germany, and the Soviet Union to that, which is now Russia. We could add China. We could add everybody to it. But no one lies as rapidly and as strongly as the United States and Israel. The CIA and the Mossad have got everyone else beat, except for MI6, which is located in England, which has lied for its entire existence. All of these nations are liars. All of them are bloodthirsty. All of them want only money and power. So if they think that Hezbollah did this, then you know full well that they didn't. Unless they did it at the instigation of the CIA, and then the CIA had enough evidence to pin it on them, when in fact it's not really true. What is Hezbollah? Hezbollah is basically a social service organization in southern Lebanon, which, because the Israelis had so much military, had to arm itself. And they became very, very powerful, actually. And they were able to withstand the invasion of Israel into Lebanon a few years ago, taking out 16 or 18 tanks, which had to be hauled out of the area by the Israelis. They kicked their ass. For the first time, the Israelis lost in a wartime situation. It was Hezbollah that did it. So now the Hague, just a few days after Hezbollah has taken out the government of Beirut, they have done something in which they, it looks like they're trying to discredit Hezbollah for having killed a prime minister who was quite popular in Beirut. Well, why would Hezbollah do that and not follow up for 6 years? Why would they kill the prime minister and then sit quietly by and do nothing to take over the government? This is absurd. We're talking about a black flag operation. It has CIA written all over it. It has Mossad written all over it. We have to keep cognizant of these things. We're being set up for a world war by the United States and by Israel and by the banking elites of the world, who have been praying for a world war now for quite a while because their books are so destroyed, so fraught with error and with crime, that only a world war can hide what they've done and cover over their crime so they don't have to go to jail. And that's why we're having these particular stories, such as the Hague, which is run by the Western world, by the way. It's not run by Hezbollah. It's run by the Western world. The Hague saying that Hezbollah was implicated in the assassination of the Prime Minister of Lebanon 6 years ago. Who would give them that evidence? Well, it would be Interpol. It would be the Mossad. It would be the CIA. It would be all the usual suspects who lie and lie and lie to the world at large. Why would you believe anything that's said in the newspapers? You have to know that when the newspaper's printed, it's already been filtered through the banking lens. The banking lens is that lens of the New World Order, the Illuminati, the Mossad, whatever you want to call it, the Judeo-Bolsheviks. These banks are Bolshevik. They are the absolute leaders of Bolshevism in this world. They're there to take as much money from you as they can. And they've taken hundreds of trillions of dollars with these products that are illegal that they've been able to create and sell, so that the entire world is in hock now up to their neck and the world economies have fallen. But no one is arresting the head of Goldman Sachs. No one's arresting the head of the Bank of America. These people are still operating as though they're just total innocent babes. And, of course, that shows exactly what you can do when you give that much money to the politicians every election so that they can win their elections and be beholden to you for the rest of their lives. And now we come to a U.S. intelligence asset, Susan Lindauer, who covered anti-terrorism at the Iraqi embassy in New York from 1996 up to the invasion. Independent sources have confirmed that Susan Lindauer gave advance warning of the 9/11 attack. She also started talks for the Lockerbie trial with Libyan diplomats. Shortly after requesting to testify before Congress about successful elements of pre-war intelligence, Lindauer became one of the first non-Arab Americans arrested on the Patriot Act as an Iraqi agent. She was accused of warning her second cousin, White House Chief of Staff Andrew Card, and Secretary of State Colin Powell, that war with Iraq would have catastrophic consequences. Gratis of the Patriot Act, her indictment was loaded with secret charges and secret evidence. She was subjected to 1 year in prison on Carswell Air Force bases in Fort Worth, Texas, without trial or hearing, and threatened with indefinite detention and forcible drugging to shut her up. After 5 years of indictment without a conviction or guilty plea, the Justice Department dismissed all charges 5 days before President Obama's inauguration. The question that we have to ask is, what if the government decided to invent a great lie to sell a disastrous war and a questionable anti-terrorism policy? What would happen to the assets who know the truth, such as Susan Lindauer? Well, former CIA asset Susan Lindauer provides an extraordinary first-hand account from behind the intelligence curtain that shatters the government's lies about 9/11 and Iraq. She casts a harsh spotlight on the workings of the Patriot Act as the ideal weapon to bludgeon whistleblowers and dissidents. A terrifying true story of black budget betrayals and the Patriot Act, with its arsenal of secret evidence, indefinite detention, and threats of forcible drugging. Susan Lindauer's new book, Extreme Prejudice, The Terrifying Story of the Patriot Act and the Cover-Ups of 9/11 and Iraq, is a book that reveals one asset's desperate struggle to survive the brutal cover-ups of 9/11 and Iraq. Extreme Prejudice delivers a high-tension expose of the real facts surrounding the CIA's advance warnings of 9/11 and Iraq's contributions to the 9/11 investigation. For the first time, it discloses the existence of a comprehensive peace framework before the war, which would have accomplished all major U.S. objectives in Baghdad without a single casualty. Does this sort of information interest you? I thought that maybe it would. For the first time, Ms. Lindhauer's book discloses the existence of a comprehensive peace framework before the war. As I said, the peace framework would have accomplished all major U.S. objectives in Baghdad without a single casualty. This true-life spy thriller that goes into the Iraqi embassy and prison on a Texas military base, all of which were experienced by Ms. Lindhauer, a CIA agent who was arrested by the United States. Extreme Prejudice reveals the depths of deception by CIA leaders in Washington and by politicians in Washington and in London to promote a questionable image of their successful anti-terrorism policy, and the shocking brutality used to suppress the truth of their failures from the American people and the world community. Above all, this book, Extreme Prejudice, offers a critical examination from the defendant's chair of the Patriots Act's assault on the most cherished constitutional rights of reporters in a court of law, when liberty and freedom to dissent from government policy are the highest stakes. Robert Black, Scottish architect of the Lockerbie trial at Camp Zai, said that Susan Lindauer deserves unreserved admiration for her brave and moving account of her steadfast refusal to crumble under the shameful abuses to which she has been subjected. She has provided us with an overdue exposure of the depths to which the Western governments are all too prepared to descend to prevent disclosure of their dishonesty and malfeasance, her knowledge having been gained through bitter personal experience. According to Janice Matthews, the director of the 9/11truth.org organization, she says the book unfolds like a suspense thriller from deep within the struggle for global sanity at the hands of those perpetrating dark secrecy. Lindauer reveals faces of our national truth that few Americans imagine. Chilling, heartbreaking, horrifying, and hopeful, Extreme Prejudice offers a depth of historical insight critical to transforming our future. So there you have it. I would suggest you read this book, Extreme Prejudice, by Susan Lindauer. I think you'll like it. It explains a lot about what happened in 9/11. It explains the corruption of the United States in seeking to have all-out war against Iraq and Afghanistan. Although it wasn't even needed, they could have gotten everything that they wanted. They had already negotiated what they wanted. But what they really wanted was this war. Otherwise, the 9/11 bombing of those buildings would have gone for naught. And as some people have said, why waste? Why waste a good act of terror? These terror vultures in Washington, these people are those that you must watch. If you're looking for an enemy of the United States of America, you'll find it in the White House. You'll find it in the Senate, and you'll find it in the House. You'll find it in the Pentagon. You'll find it in the New York banks. You'll find it in Wall Street. You'll find it in every state house. You'll find the traitors who are supporting the fascism in Washington. That great lying monstrosity, that freak show of fascism that wants to be at war every minute of every day and is. We've been at war ever since I was born and ever since you were born, and we will continue at war until someone does something to replace this government with a government of sanity. Usually the only thing that stops a war in the United States is when the government itself is broke. It has spent itself to death. It has been consumed by war, and its treasury becomes consumed to the point where nobody wants their dollar anymore. And we've reached a point where that is just about upon us, which means that the war itself may stop, and then again it may not. Sometimes when a war is about to stop, a vicious empire such as the United States will start a larger war and get the country embroiled in something bigger and more dangerous. Because only more dangerous things can elude the people in their quest for truth. The more that they can be fed a spoonful of fear, and then a plateful, a bowlful, a carload full, a Ryder truck full, the more of these terrors that they can be fed, even though the United States is involved with them, such as the terror that took place in Oklahoma City by an agent of the government who had been working in Elohim City, where another agent of the federal government had been working, the Southern Poverty Law Center. McVeigh, like I say, an agent of the federal government, who gladly gave his life to keep everything that was done there secret. I don't know if you've listened to General Parton's analysis of what happened at Oklahoma City, but he is a bombing expert. He pointed out that the bomb didn't come from McVeigh's truck at all. It came from under the building. The building was blown upward and outward from the basement. And as a matter of fact, as I watched the original television coverages of that building, I remember the announcer saying that there were people from the American Bombing and Tobacco Agency, the ATF, in the building, disarming bombs that hadn't yet gone off. And yet you haven't heard anything about that in a long time, have you? But if you look at the recordings of the original coverage, even the governor was reporting that they weren't going to be able to get the children out or anybody in the building until they disarmed the bombs that were left inside that building. Well, if there are bombs left inside the building, how in the world would Timothy McVeigh have gotten in there? Unless, of course, he was an agent for the federal government. Or how would his bombs in a truck have destroyed the building? The building had holes blown through the basement into the ground, but where McVeigh's truck had been standing, there were no holes. None. So, there you have another cover-up. We're talking about a government here that is out of control, that doesn't care if it kills children. 2 years before the bombing in Oklahoma City, the government had gone into a religious church in Waco, Texas, and murdered 29 children. There were no baby tears for the children that were killed there. There were no baby tears for the 80 or 90 people that were killed inside that church. And the federal government itself, if you'll look at the tapes of the daily news meetings, whenever someone would ask an embarrassing question, they would be taken out of the meeting by gendarmes of the federal government and told never to return. I was so concerned about that, I used to call a talk radio show late in the evening. And within 2 or 3 weeks of this incident that went on for 50 days, I announced to the announcer there that I thought they were going to kill these people. That was what they were up to, you know, that we were trying to do, that you could tell by their actions. He said, well, what do you mean they're trying to kill them? These are federal agents. I said, well, let's take a look at them. You have children in the building, and they're playing screaming dead rabbits and other animals dying all night long through loudspeakers. They're not allowing enough food to get into them. They're not allowing them medical treatment. And they have shot into the building many times, thus endangering the children in there. And in their nightly meetings with the press, they are calling David Koresh a fraud, and trying to anger him, and telling him to come out and to do this and to do that, feeling that they might be able to get him to start shooting. They're trying to provoke him into an incident where they can use that incident to go in and kill them, and eventually he agreed with me. And he began announcing that, and he figured that my logic was absolutely right on, which of course it was. And he got to the point where he was being advertised. His major advertiser was the gun lobby. You know, it was basically the private gun associations that were advertising with him, because they knew that this was an assault on gun owners and gun dealers, and it was an illegal assault, and he was saying things that they liked. So at any rate, there's just hundreds of things the United States has done, and I think the assassination of the head of state of Lebanon could very easily be one of them. And if they missed out on assassinating him, then what kind of intelligence work were they doing? They're supposed to know every darn thing that's going on in Lebanon, which is right next to Israel, and so is the Mossad. If they didn't know that Hezbollah was going to murder this man, then who would? Who would? And if they don't know that, then how can they know what's happening with terrorism anywhere in the world? They can't. So, we know that they knew, or they were supposed to know. And besides, they're liars, so you can't believe a thing that they say. And so is the Hague a liar. The Hague will lie because the Hague has been appointed by Western leaders. It's a cover-up organization. It's kind of like cleaning out a restaurant at the end of the day, or a barbershop where you sweep up all the hair that you cut from people after you've shorn them, and then they dispose of it so no one can see it anymore. That's what the Hague does. That's what the CIA does. That's what America does. That's what Obama does. That's what every senator and member of the House does. They're all liars, every one of them. And you need to be cognizant of that, because they're in the business right now of expanding the war in Iraq and Iran. And they're going to do it to snooker you, spending more of your money and destroying your country more rapidly. So if you don't stop them by writing to them and protesting, well, they're going to do it to you. And then you're going to be in real trouble. You think you have trouble now? Wait till the dollar goes all the way down the tube because of these useless wars and all this federal lying. You need to take control of your country. You need to make the government sit back and think they're on to us. They know what we're doing. They know that when our lips are moving, we're always lying. We had better stop. And now for a fresh WikiLeaks news blast for you. Israel's blockade of the Gaza Strip, according to one of the newest WikiLeaks, was meant to push the area's economy to the brink of collapse, according to a U.S. diplomatic cable released by WikiLeaks on Wednesday, signaling that Israel was well aware that the terrorism policy was taking a heavy toll on the area's civilian population. Israel's terrorist leaders have long maintained that the blockade was necessary to weaken the ruling Hamas militant group. The March 2008 document published by Norway's Aftenposten newspaper indicates that the terrorist state of Israel hoped to accomplish that goal by targeting Gaza's innocent 1.5 million people, who generally live there in total peace, as farmers, doing nothing except living in poverty and subsisting. According to the cable from the United States agents, Israeli officials repeatedly told American diplomats that the embargo sought to damage the Gazan economy. Israeli officials confirmed to embassy officials on multiple occasions that the Israelis intended to keep the Gazan economy functioning at the lowest level possible. As a part of their overall embargo plan against Gaza, Israeli officials confirmed on multiple occasions that they intended to keep the Gazan economy on the brink of collapse without quite pushing it over the edge. The cable is headed secret and contains the name of a high-ranking official in the Israeli terrorist security establishment, followed by strictly protect in brackets. Isn't that interesting? You have this terrorist nation of Israel trying to push the economy of 1.5 million Gazans who've done nothing wrong to anyone over the brink, threatening their very existence. to the point where they might not even be able to get food for their families. And it's labeled secret by the United States of America. The cable details Israel's terrorist concerns in its control of the flow of money to Hamas, saying Israel's National Security Council, part of Israel's security, intelligence, and terrorist community, abides by the principle that Gaza should receive just enough money for the basic needs of the population, but is not interested in returning to Gaza's economy a state of normal commerce and business. The agency continues to approve a reasonable amount of new money for entry into the territory each month. However, it will not permit any large-scale transfer of assets from Ramallah-based banks to their branches in Gaza, for fear of improving the purchasing power of entities wishing to harm Israel. That's what terrorists always say. They always say that they're trying to prevent harm to their people. That's what America said after it bombed the World Trade Center. It's exactly what they said. That was the whole point of it. And that's what Israel's saying here about the destruction that it was putting against what they called Hamas, but it was really not just Hamas. These were the people of Lebanon. These were the people of Gaza. It wasn't Hamas. These were the little people that had little bank accounts that they were messing with, and they called it Hamas. It wasn't Hamas. It was little individuals that had the tiny bank accounts, and they wouldn't let them have them. The cable from the terrorist state of Israel concludes to saying the United States government should continue to encourage the Israelis to approve as much funding as possible each month, consistent with our mutual political security objectives in Gaza. What would those objectives be, United States? Would it be to starve these people out? To kill a bunch of them through starvation and through lack of medicine? To make their lives useless? Keep them in total abject poverty? Is that what you want, United States? Is that what you want in your terrorism against these people? The cable by the United States on Israel says that the U.S. should also continue to assist the Palestinian Authority, which, of course, kisses the rear end of Israel and the United States, to improve its regulatory regimes with due diligence. In other words, the Palestinian Authority works with Israel, and it's approved by the Western world now. In Gaza, Hamas spokesman Fawzi Barhoum called the WikiLeaks cable more evidence of the crimes that the Israeli terrorist occupation has done to our people. The Israeli terrorist government spokesman Mark Regev refused to comment. Israel imposed the terrorist blockade against Gaza after Hamas militants routed forces loyal to Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas and seized control of Gaza in 2007. Well, as a matter of fact, Hamas is the duly democratically elected government of Gaza, and this story doesn't mention one aspect of that. Not one. This is a democratically elected government, and there isn't one thing about it. And the United States is there with its terrorist CIA planning bombings here and there all over the world, and assassinations, like the assassination of the Lebanese prime minister, which is now blaming on Hezbollah. But again, nothing happens without the approval of the CIA in that area and without the approval of the Mossad. They're right on everything. They have agents everywhere. You can't say anything in Lebanon without them hearing it, because they have whispering ears everywhere. As a result of the terrorism that Israel has shown against Gaza, the innocent people of Gaza, tens of thousands of jobs were lost, marriages were disrupted, homes were lost, exports were largely halted. And for 3 years, the terrorist state of Israel carefully monitored which types of consumer goods were allowed into the territory. Under heavy international pressure, Israel has been easing the blockade since its deadly naval raid on a Gaza-bound international flotilla last May. Where'd these Israelis come off, anyway? I mean, you know, they entered other people's ships from helicopters on ropes with machine guns, killing people. These were unarmed people, and they killed them. And yet Hamas is the terrorist organization, and Israel is innocent. Well, they're about as innocent as the wolf that ate the little baby at the picnic. They're not innocent at all. They are a vicious terrorist nation that has brought nothing but horror to the Middle East since its inception. And now for another fast WikiLeaks blast. In Zimbabwe, the Attorney General has set up a team of lawyers to investigate whether Prime Minister Morgan Tsvangirai can be charged with treason or conspiracy related to revelations by WikiLeaks. WikiLeaks published U.S. cables saying Tsvangirai and his party leadership were planning with the U.S. diplomats for Washington to contribute to a fund to buy off security service chiefs to achieve regime change in Zimbabwe. I want to get to the legal opinion of the legal experts to see if I can proceed with prosecution, Attorney General Johannes Tomana said in an interview. He said the six-member team would remain intact to maintain its independence and professional integrity and would soon submit recommendations. Ironically, Tomana is himself a source of tension in the coalition government that President Robert Mugabe and Tsvangirai formed in 2009. Tsvangirai accuses Mugabe of unilaterally appointing Tomana as the country's chief lawyer. Tomana said he was not worried what tensions would rise further in light of the probing of Tsvangirai. So, here we have the United States interfering in Zimbabwe, which is a really terrible place to be. They've had this thug in there for a long, long time, Mugabe, killing white farmers, handing their land over to black Africans, who just simply sit on the land and don't do anything, whereas the white farmers have produced plenty of food for that nation to eat. Now no one's producing anything. So, in a coalition, Mugabe was forced to have a coalition government with Tsvangirai, and so the United States conspired with this Tsvangirai and his party to contribute to a fund to buy off security service chiefs to achieve regime change, in other words, to overthrow Mugabe. Now, I don't know what kind of a double cross that was that the CIA was pulling there, but one way or the other, it had to be a double cross. And it's just amazing. It's just amazing. The United States has got its rear end involved everywhere. And here they are trying to interfere in a government, which probably needs to tumble, no doubt about it. But should the United States be involved in everything that happens in every country? Well, WikiLeaks once again has done the world a service by exposing the sadistic nature of the CIA and in working with one leader against another. Something that in general can produce civil war. And of course in civil war, when the United States gets involved, things don't go too well usually for those countries. And now for a third WikiLeaks blast for you. In London, we read that a former Swiss private banker has handed over data on hundreds of offshore bank account holders to WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange on Monday, saying he wanted to draw attention to financial abuses. Rudolf Elmer, 55, headed the office of Julius Baer in the Cayman Islands until he was fired by the bank in 2002. He's scheduled to go on trial in Switzerland on Wednesday for breaching bank secrecy. Swiss national Elmer handed Assange the data at a news conference at a media club in London. The two yellow and blue discs contain information on around 2,000 banking clients, both individuals and companies, he said, declining to reveal further details on the data. Working in the Cayman Islands, I realized that something was wrong. I want to let our society know that what I do know, because it's damaging our society in a way that money is moved away by financial institutions, multinational conglomerates, and high-net-worth individuals. Money is hidden in offshore ventures, Elmer told a room packed with reporters. I love this. Don't you love this? When somebody betrays the elites and tells the truth about their crookedness. Julius Bayer has accused Elmer of embarking on a vendetta against the company. Well, Julius Bayer, maybe you shouldn't have fired him, huh? You're one of those red Bolsheviks, aren't you, from New York? Name like Julius Bayer, of course you are. Its shares fell more than 3% on Monday, and traders cited the WikiLeaks link as a potential factor. WikiLeaks will take at least a couple of weeks to vet the data before publishing, Assange said. Vetting will be done by themselves, media organizations, and other partners to protect sources. We have a 4-year publishing history, Assange said. We have never been wrong, so far as we are aware, in relation to anything we have published, said Assange, who is on bail in Britain and fighting extradition to Sweden, where he faces questioning over alleged sex crimes, which were silly crimes. He had consensual sex with 2 women, and he didn't use a condom, and they said that constitutes rape. Well, it's ridiculous. And it just shows how the CIA and the federal government of the United States is able to do anything with its friends to try to destroy the right of free Americans to publish materials that are needed by everybody in the world to find out how dastardly the United States has been in its activities. And here WikiLeaks has this wonderful data showing where these 2,000 leaders of the Western world have hidden their money. And hopefully many of them will go to jail for their arrogance and for the damage they've done to their nations by removing that money from the shores just to save money for themselves. You know, some of these things may not look like much to you, but when you have the bankers of this world working with money that it comes from the coffers of these federal governments that their banks are working inside of, and then they take the money once they get it for free and they move it outside of the country, they've destroyed the economy of that country for each dollar that they've removed from the hands of the economy, because that money was allowed to be printed so that the people in those nations would benefit from it, not so a bunch of fat bankers could send the money to the Cayman Islands and stick them into Swiss banking accounts. So I'm happy they're being found out. I mean, I don't like the federal government of America one damn bit, and I don't like them going after people. But in this case, these are the people that kiss up under the United States and give the United States money to commit wars of aggression, one after the other after the other, so that they can loan money to these operatives in America who need money to perpetrate their wars. And they're able then to make money from whatever interest they get from it. In Tunisia, students have forced the leader to flee the country and to seek refuge in Riyadh, Saudi Arabia. And now WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange is said to be involved in this uprising. The eccentric dictator of Libya said that cables leaked by WikiLeaks detailing the spending of Tunisian dictator Zine al-Abidine bin Ali and his family were planted by ambassadors to push along the Tunisian uprising. The cable he was most likely referring to was a cable sent by the United States Embassy in Tunis, describing bin Ali's family as a corrupt and quasi-mafia family. I am concerned for the people of Tunisia whose sons are dying every day, Gaddafi said in an overnight speech, according to the British newspaper, The Telegraph. And for what? In order to have someone become president instead of Ben Ali. On Sunday, the U.S. State Department spokesman P.J. Crowley denied that WikiLeaks had anything to do with the uprising. Tunisia is not a wiki revolution, he tweeted. The Tunisian people knew about corruption long ago, and they alone are the catalyst of this unfolding drama. Well, either way, we have a WikiLeak that's involved in this. Now, I want to ask you something. Here we have a potential for a country for the one of the first times to become a democracy. Of course, the last democracy. There were several that became a democracy, including Saddam Hussein's Ba'athist government was a democracy. You may not like him, but he was elected. You know, the American elections are just as corrupt. The money flows to the Democratic and Republican parties who were able to appear on the ballot without having to spend any money. But a new party isn't able to do that. They have to go out and get hundreds of thousands of signatures and so forth to get onto a ballot. So, you know, there's nothing more corrupt than the American election situation. And 95% of the voting booths now are electronic, owned by the same company, who itself could determine an election, and this is, of course, a threat to our national security to have a breach like that. The idea of allowing all of these machines to belong to one company. Well, at any rate, Gaddafi says that Tunisia fell for, the government fell for no reason, that they're just going to get another dictator, but there's a possibility there may be a democracy that forms there. But I can assure you that the United States does not want a democracy anywhere in the Middle East. If the United States tried to get a democracy in the Middle East, the dictators of all of the other countries would be extremely upset, especially Saudi Arabia. And Saudi Arabia could really help destroy the economy of the United States by raising petroleum prices even faster. It wouldn't take too much at this point to push America over the edge with its economy. Well, we've had a lot of problems here. And we really need to mend our fences with these dictators that we support. So we're almost in a position where there's no way that we could support a democracy in Tunisia. Well, it would be like, but it has the potential of a French Revolution, causing the fall of one dictator that's friendly to the United States after another all the way across North Africa and the Middle East. And the United States would be out to lunch in such a revolution. There's potential there for a second, third, or fourth country to come in and place their troops into specific nations, thus denying the United States the 100% sovereignty that it now has as the hegemony nation for the colonies that it maintains all over that area. And believe me, these nations are not independent. These nations belong to the United States of America, to the CIA, to the FBI, to the banking structure, to the Rothschild Empire. And Imperial America has its finger in every palace in the Middle East. I know there are people out there who support America and who feel that I'm doing some sort of harm to America. All I can say to you is that nothing could be further from the truth, because what we're living in is no longer America. It hasn't been America for decades, and especially since the passage of the Patriot Act, in which the Constitution was abolished with all of its freedoms. I've had the Homeland Security Agency, the NHS, or National Security Administration, under the thug Michael Chertoff come after me, claiming that I was guilty of fraud, when in fact I had committed no fraud, and the FBI investigated and found I had made no money off of trying to help people in New Orleans, not one penny. Nor had I accepted any money into my bank accounts. But they said, well, we could get you on something else like wire fraud, whatever. Well, of course, I had no money pass through my hands. But these people have ways of getting you into a jail, one way or the other. So I had to do a radical tap dance for them for several years, while I watched the president talk about how we allowed dissidents to operate openly in the United States without bothering them, and meanwhile, you know, the federal building in St. Louis, Missouri was jumping down my ass, one day after the other. Every Monday I had to call some rather scruffy woman whom I would rather never ever talk to again. A real slob of a person. Real vicious woman. And I really resented it, and I should have had to do it anyway, because I had already been cleared of any wrongdoing. But they didn't want to let go. They wanted to utilize their Patriot Act to foist their BS upon me. Remember when they passed that, they said, this isn't going to affect any Americans. This is only for terrorists. These are for people outside the country. Well, do I look like I live outside the country? I live right here in St. Louis, Missouri. I've never robbed a bank. I've never threatened anybody. I don't collect a whole lot of guns. I don't collect anything that's dangerous to anybody. The only thing that I have that's dangerous is my mouth. And they don't want anybody to hear my mouth. And in doing so, they're siding with Red China. They're siding with Saudi Arabia and the dictatorship there. They're siding with the goons of Israel and the goons of England, who have been colonists from the beginning. And, of course, the goons in Israel, many of them were Reds that came there from Russia and Poland, communists. In fact, Haifa, when they first started going there, was called Red Haifa because of so many communists and socialists from Europe going there, and these Jewish people who wanted to settle there and have their own country and their own power structure and their own army and their own navy. Well, they were communists. They were communists. They wanted to destroy Western civilization because they resented it because it was called Christendom and these people worshiped Christ. And the Jewish people didn't worship Christ. The Jewish people were basically antichrists who had, from the inception of the religion, in 1 AD, in 33 AD actually, after he was crucified, and they voted to crucify him in the Bible, they were assassinating and killing Christians all over the Roman Empire. Well, they were no friends to Christianity anywhere from the beginning on. And they're no friends now to the Christians today. Do you see the NBC stations offering free time to religious broadcasters? No, not on your life. But when these industries first started, they always had time available for a Christian church to have a ceremony now and then on the air. But none of that anymore. It's pure Jewishness now, and antichristness. But, you know, when it comes to interviewing people for the news, if you'll notice, they always interview a Jewish person. Usually from New York. They just, you know, this person's supposed to represent all of America, but they're almost always Jewish individuals. I find that interesting. And I find it is one of the reasons why the Jewish ownership of the media is a threat to the American people. It's a national threat. To have a minority like that that is so closely associated with communism and with banking and with the military-industrial complex and with the CIA and the Mossad and MI6, to allow these people to own these facilities, and the other 97 to 98% of the people in America are cut out as a result of it because they've taken all those slots. Now, what kind of a free country is that? Supposed to be a country where everybody's supposed to find free expression. It has been translated to a country where only Jewish people are supposed to find free expression. Now you take a look at the titles of all of these movies when you go to a movie theater, when you're watching TV. Just take a look at the names of the people who are the producers. They're almost always from the banking tribe of Judeo-Bolsheviks in New York. And they make sure that when they make these things that they put their propaganda in, like they always have a black president in all of in all of their movies and in all of their series. And what do we have now? We have a black president. Isn't that strange? Well, people used to say, well, we could never have a black president. Well, after you propagandize people for 10 years showing a black president on various shows inside their living room, and then when a black person runs for president, they're more likely to vote for him. This is a black flag operation with these Judeo-Bolsheviks are doing in the media. They're manipulating the American people, misusing their minority control of this media. A minority of 2 or 3% should never control 95% of the media. That media should be controlled by everyone. There should be Catholics that control about a third of it, and Protestants about 40 or 50% of it. And then the, you know, maybe 10% for the Jewish people. I don't know, I would say 2 or 3% because that's their numbers. 2 or 3% for Islamic people. It should be representative of the American democracy. The ownership of banks should be representative of American democracy and the ownership of industry. You shouldn't have one tribe of 2 or 3% owning everything. That's an abomination. That is a threat to national security, and it's a form of theft from everyone else. But these thieves have done that. They've been allowed to do it, and you're not going to get your government to stop them because your government's paid by them for their donations that they use to buy advertising so they can get their sorry rear ends reelected. And that's just the way that it is. Just the way it is, unless you do something about it, you're going to lose your whole country. They've already transferred all of your wealth to Europe and to China. All of it. They've transferred your jobs to China. You have no jobs left here in factories. The Chinese are using your technology that you developed with your money to build stealth bombers, and now China's built a bigger stealth bomber and a better one because we had them build our bombers. And they won't build something unless we give them the technology to do so beforehand. And they say, well, we'll wait 5 or 10 years before we build it ourselves, but we need to have the technology or we're not interested. And so we give it to them. And now they're going to use that technology against us. But this is a part of the plan. You remove industry from America, you put it into the hands of the Chinese. You control the Chinese because you're a Judeo-Bolshevik and China's a Bolshevik nation. And then you transfer the wealth there, and by transferring wealth back and forth, you're able to corrupt people on two continents. You know, we have them corrupted here, but now we have them corrupted there as well. And that's exactly what Judeo-Bolshevism is all about. And they got their way. And you're being impoverished by them. But you're not going to say anything because they're of a group of people that you have been corruptly told is respected by Jesus Christ and Christianity, the largest religion in America, when in fact Jesus Christ was an anti-Semite. I will quote Jesus, who said in John 8:44, you Jews, are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in the devil. When the devil speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And by saying this, he told the Jews, you are of the devil, and you lie, and you always lie. So now the children of the devil, according to Jesus, are in charge of the United States of America through the banks, the media, through the military-industrial complex. In fact, it was these people who invented the atomic and hydrogen bombs for us. And look what's happened to the world because of that. Was this a good thing? Some of you will probably argue that it was a good thing. But I don't think the people of Nevada who have died of radiation because of the testing there thought it was a good thing. I don't think the soldiers who have been poisoned or the little girls who have been injected with plutonium by Jewish scientists for America thought this was a good thing either. And I don't think the little children, 100,000 of them being dosed with radiation in Israel, many of whom died horrible deaths, thought that this was a good thing. We need to get our country back. We need to take it back from these people. They have no right to own so much of this country. This wealth needs to be redistributed. And once it's redistributed, these wars will cease. For these devilish people, these Rothschildians, these Bolsheviks in New York, the bankers, who give the money to our politicians to buy them away from us, these are the reasons, these are the people behind the reasons that we're having wars constantly. And if we're going to end the wars, then we need to end these people having almost complete control over our country. In short, ladies and gentlemen, we need to take our country back.